This past week, we have been reporting on innovation in Maine's seafood farming industry. In the final segment of Aquaculture's Next Wave, we look at the conflicts that can arise as the growing sector's footprint expands, whether that's at sea or on dry land. Fred Bever has our story.
Can everybody hear me?
At a recent hearing in Kittery, so many people showed up to weigh in on the proposed expansion of an oyster-growing operation in a local creek. Department of Marine Resources hearing officer Amanda Ellis had to make an announcement.
Based on the numbers that we're seeing, we've made the decision to postpone the hearing.
But opponents such as Mike Dowling were still plenty willing to talk.
Personally, I have many concerns. There's a whole group of us. They basically cut off the only section in Kittery where there's a sandy beach, which is identified.
Such complaints do arise with aquaculture enterprises among neighbors, sometimes including fishermen who worry about water access, environmental effects, and property values. Up the coast in McCoit Bay near Brunswick, a proposed 40-acre shellfish farm is meeting some stiff resistance. And then there's Belfast, where a proposal to site what would be one of the world's largest indoor salmon farms is stirring talk of the darker days when the city was dominated by chicken processors.
The harbor was basically one of the most disgusting bodies of water you can imagine, full of blood and feathers, all the effluent dumped directly out into the bay.
Ellie Daniels owns the Green Store in the heart of Belfast's lively downtown. Her home a few miles away abuts the 40-acre wooded site where Nordic Aqua Farms, a Norwegian company, wants to build its half-billion-dollar recirculating aquaculture system. Daniels is among many in Belfast who fear the city could be reindustrialized.
It's the scale of the thing. It's the fact that it's a large monoculture. It's only been theorized that it can work, that the technologies can work.
We just have a different objectives in life, and that's fair.
Eric Heim is Nordic Aqua Farms' CEO. He says that in contrast to open-sea salmon pens, his indoor fish will need no antibiotics or pesticides to stay healthy. Skeptics say viral infections will still be an issue, and they are concerned about discharges to the bay as well. But Heim says that will be treated to reduce potentially harmful elements such as nitrogen and phosphorus.
That we don't want to see going into the bay. So I think in the end, you have a residual discharge that is just a small fraction of what you otherwise would have had.
And despite meeting as much as 7% of the nation's entire salmon demand, he adds, there'd be a max of about 10 trucks a day backing up to the farm's cargo bays.
So you can stuff a lot of fish into each of those tractor trailers.
One neighbor, Jeff Flimlin, who is building a retirement home next to the site, has a bit of a split perspective on the Nordic Aqua Farms project.
I told Eric if he ruined my night sky, I was going to be really ticked.
Flimlin says he can relate to concerns about compromising the serenity of the neighborhood, not to mention property values. But as a longtime educator in aquaculture at the Rutgers Cooperative Extension, he's also attuned to the idea that local seafood farms can have environmental benefits, too.
Why can't people understand that? They don't have to fly this stuff from the other side of the ocean to the United States, you know, and the carbon footprint that's going to be reduced. Yeah, there's going to be a building there, but think globally and plan locally, you know?
And there are projects around the state where locals focus more on the upside, such as jobs and investment. Just 20 miles up the coast from Belfast is the former mill town of Bucksport. Economic Development Director Richard Rotella boats past a closed paper mill whose smokestacks have long dominated Bucksport's skyline. He says the traditionally blue-collar town is welcoming a proposed industrial-scale indoor salmon farm, and demolition at the mill is now underway.
What will be remaining from what you can see here are the blue buildings and one stack.
Rotella says while many mill towns struggle to transform themselves to suit today's economic realities, Bucksport is already well on its way. And he says Whole Oceans, the Maine-based company behind the new salmon venture, has chosen a fitting site.
This area right here where we're driving by right now was the largest spawning area of Atlantic salmon at its time. So what Whole Oceans is looking to do for the property is to name the road One Salmon Way.
Still, when neighbors of a seafood farm do get activated, passions can run high amid complaints that the state tends to rubber stamp applications. But Patrick Kelleher, the commissioner of the Department of Marine Resources, which oversees most shellfish farms, says he is confident in the process and encourages public participation.
You put a farm in place, and then the farm starts working, and then the people who are opposed to it start interacting, and temper subsides, relationships are built, and time heals all wounds.
Just yesterday, Kelleher's agency approved one aquaculture application in Penobscot Bay and turned down another in Scarborough's Spurwink River. He says that at the rate the sector is growing in Maine, he could use a couple more staffers to handle the caseload. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And you can find links to those decisions that Fred just mentioned, along with charts detailing growth in the sector and other information at mainepublic.org/aquaculture. And you can find the rest of the stories in our series, Aquaculture's Next Wave, there as well.